Hello everyone and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi David Oppenheimer, Rabbinic Coordinator with the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Oppenheimer, for being here.
A pleasure to join you and to help your great job of exporting kashrus to the community.
Well, we do. We get tremendous feedback from people, and the credit is to Rabbonim and Mashgichim like yourself who are out there in the trenches of the world of kashrus, and you enrich us by coming in and sharing from your real-life experiences. So thank you. Now, I know you live in Chicago, so we thank you as well for being here in the tri-state to do this interview. You're originally from Argentina, you told me.
That's correct.
And you learned later in the Mir in Yerushalayim.
Philadelphia. In Lakewood. And then I joined the Chicago Community Kollel. I was there for a number of years, and then I joined the CRC.
Uh-huh. So you've been in Kashrus for how many years now?
About 25 years.
Uh-huh. So you have a wealth of experience, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
We hope to tap into some of that today. Specifically, our topic at hand is the topic of challah, which is very interesting on a commercial level. On a residential level, you could tell us, you know, it's fairly simple when a woman is baking challah. If it meets the requisite amount and she takes challah, it's simpler. When you're dealing on a commercial level, first of all, they bake at very, very odd times, very often early in the morning or late at night where a mashgiach might not be present. Walk us through the challenges of challah, hilchos challah on a commercial level. I know it's very halachic oriented, so without getting too bogged down with the details, but give us an overview of what you as a rabbinic coordinator have to deal with and also what solutions you found to this particular conundrum.
Okay. So obviously the best idea would be to have a mashgiach tamidi who is on top of every dough, and every time the dough is made, he will separate a piece of challah, eventually burn it, or dispose of it according to halacha. But unfortunately, it does not work in general companies. Obviously, we're talking only by Jewish-owned companies. If it's not a Jewish-owned company, then obviously there's no hafreshes challah. It only applies to Jewish-owned companies. When possible, many times there are Jewish companies who bake at non-Jewish companies. So ideally the situation is we tell them, do not acquire the dough until after, and do not acquire the product until after it's dough. Mm-hmm. So therefore there's no chi of challah at that point. Right, so that would solve the problem. But if it's a Jewish-owned company from beginning to end, and unfortunately the owner is not from, then we have to figure out how to solve the problem. Number one, the first issue is we have to have reshus from the owner of the company. You have to be a shliach. You can't be a shliach without reshus for truma and chal, which is a kind of truma. And then we have to figure out a way that we could always be safe and covered for this situation. This is based on a mishnah in truma that a person could separate, dedicate the chavis of truma, okay, and continuously be mafresh truma from his tavua, wherever it is, onto this chavis. So a little piece of this chavis, a little part of this chavis will become truma, and it could go on a continuous basis. That's the idea behind what we call the backup system to hafreshes challah.
Describe that in a practical sense. What is happening?
On the practical sense, like this. Either there's two choices. Either you could take dough from the company, right, and put it, if you can, if you want to make minamukov, put it in the mixing area and you declare every day a lotion that from every dough that they make, a small portion of this dough will become, the dedicated dough will become challah. Alternatively, though you is in the front of it, they make tevel matzah. And they offer it to other agencies as well. In other words, they bake matzah, and normally when a matzah bakery bakes matzah, they do hafreshes challah for you. They do a run, and they're not mafresh challah. So it all remains what we call tevel, right? And then you could put that matzah there. The mile of a matzah over dough, it's like a dough, doesn't last very long in the mixing area, out in the heat of the ovens and all that, it's going to last very short. Uh-huh. Matzah could last a lot longer. That's the mile.
So you put it near the baking area, and that's right. Dedicated as challah for
right.
For so each every, for each
and
baking.
You
say,
and you declare that every time a dough goes is made, a small piece of that is becomes
challah. That's interesting. I had never heard of that before. I imagine you can't buy tevel matzah on the regular market. It's something that's made dedicated
for this.
For yeah, this.
They, in the olden days, there used to be tevel matzah. You know, they weren't mafish challah at the bakeries.
Oh, years ago, they were not mafish challah?
When I was a child, they were not mafish challah on the
really? Bakeries. Really? But the item had hashgacha, though?
Had hashgacha.
So the hashgacha was on the ingredients.
Right, and there was a stempel on it that you got to take challah from it.
You could tell which generation I was born in because I don't remember such a thing.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Really? So there was a sticker on it that said that challah was not taken.
Was not taken.
Nowadays, you have a sticker that says challah genommen.
So challah genommen, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So nowadays, so we take, the OU does this run. The advantage of using dough is because there's halach in challah, in truma, primarily in truma, that you cannot do from 1 year to the next.
From 1 year
to the next.
Oh, right.
From 1 year to the next. So therefore, in chalz, you have to know, this is a challenge for companies, you have to know when the flour grew and make sure that you separate from that year to the next.
Now,
to that year.
Year is determined by what date?
Rosh Hashanah.
By Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah in this case, mm-hmm. Right?
So, interesting.
Which the application in North America obviously is going to be that the dough that comes out in May, June, that's going to be for 1 year. You know, and then September is in May and June is the winter wheat, mm-hmm. And then in September, June, September, August is the spring wheat, right?
Right.
But both, you know, usually going to be both within that year.
So this question of the year is obviously relevant to when you're designated doing what you said. If you're taking challah off the actual production,
yeah,
then
whatever it is,
then
it
you have
is.
No problem. You take it off on the spot, then you burn it, or you do whatever you do.
Right.
You're talking about where you put designated challah or matzah in your right. example.
Right.
So you have to make sure that it's not from 1 year to the
That's
other.
That's right. That is a challenge.
Uh-huh.
There are heterim b'dievet, but we certainly don't want to go that route. Mm-hmm. So therefore we do. That is the best way. Alternatively, it's interesting. When Chassid Yitzchak brings a minhag, used to be the minhag that the rabbitson of the town used to bake every day, and be mafrish challah for whoever forgot to be mafrish challah.
Interesting, almost like Erev Tavshilin that you can make for the
shtot.
For the shtot.
That's right. Chatchila, of course, there's a din of minam mukav that has to be next week. That's why the chatchila should be in the mixing room. Mm-hmm. But b'dieved, it works. It's based on Shara Tzion and Shulchan Aruch Harav that you could do shalem minam mukav is kosher. Mm-hmm. The advantage in chutzlars, this in Eretz is much more difficult. In chutzlars, b'dieved, even if somebody already ate, in the chutzlars, the halach is, even if someone ate most of the dough and there's still some dough left, you could still be mafrish challah and correct it lemafreya, mm-hmm. to everything else.
So talking about doing it afterwards, how about the companies where there is no mashgiach and they didn't designate challah at the time, and now
you can still correct it.
So what do the companies do in that case? They baked thousands of donuts or whatever it might have been. Or baked goods.
Well, we don't take responsibility of companies that never had a hechsher. We're not going to sit there. I mean, it would be nice to fix the world, right. And try to be second the world.
No, I'm talking about a company with hashgacha.
With hashgacha. I mean, but yeah, but if that happened, something happened, but some mistake happened, then of course that would solve the problem.
What do they do? What do they do in such a scenario?
I don't think I ever encountered that.
Okay.
You know? But truth is, in all, you know, usually a kashrus, there's a system. Kashrus usually has a system. There's a setup and usually follows the orders.
Uh-huh.
Challah is much more challenging because it always changes. You always have to become on top of the situation, which flour this is, make sure there's enough, because when you take a portion of the matzah, you have to keep track of how many doughs they already made,
uh-huh.
Right? Because let's say the matzah has 500 grams, right? So you dedicate half a gram, a gram per dough. If the company made 2,000 grand, you know.
What is the percentage that you need to take off, generally?
It's minimal. It's minimal. In Truma, we have this concept, chitachas pateres sakri. You know, the minig the remote brings for homes is a kzais.
Right.
That's only a minig. Mm-hmm. So over here, we don't, you know, kzais would be a huge amount, you know, considering the company
does.
Because
you're doing so much.
Right.
So really, chitachas is enough.
Right.
But how do they keep track of that?
So you have to keep track. You have to make sure that you keep track of how many doughs. You have an idea of how many doughs this company makes, uh-huh. right? And then you keep track of how much matzah you put aside. And you have to keep track of all that.
You say it's another job of a mashgiach that probably most of us took for granted.
That's right.
And don't realize that's one of the things.
On a personal level, yeah. I find that's the most taxing, item.
Well,
because you have to keep ongoing. It's not mm-hmm. a program that you could set up and things follow the
right.
route.
There's you have to be on top of it with every company and every run each
that's
time.
Right. That's
any
correct.
Final thoughts on this topic of challah that we didn't address?
If you want a big kula,
yeah.
and that's Rav Eliashiv in his safe in the shurim and Brichas Brachas, and I think Rav Ozer also, I saw it recorded, is that Maisei Paskas, that since it's also lechalek, okay, when you're talking about companies that make small doughs, for example, I have a company that makes cheesecake. How much dough is in a cheesecake?
Very minimal.
Very minimal amount. So it's also lechalek, you'll never have a shear, nobody's going to buy enough cheesecake to have a sheer of challah, 5 pounds or two, at
five
least
pounds.
2.5 pounds of challah, right? Nobody's going to ask. So according to that, according to most poskim, that the way Rav Eliashiv passes, according to most sheets in Shulchan Aruch, it will never require challah.
Uh-huh.
So that it would be a bigger problem. It's a bigger problem in bakeries, the way people buy loaves that have 2.5 pounds. So you buy two loaves, very likely you have from the same dough. That's a bigger problem. But in companies that make smaller doughs, or doughs with very little flour, that would be a lot easier.
Very interesting. Thank you for this fascinating discussion, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you
for
so
having
much.
Us, and Hatzlacha on your Avodas HaKodesh.